There's our newest little member walking through the door now, y'all. Sister Nunya and the baby.
God's children said, amen. Amen. This is a good day to be in the Lord's house. Amen. And I wouldn't have it any other way than to fellowship with my sisters and brothers in Christ. Our sermon today comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 22 through 29. St. Matthew, chapter 14, starting at the 22nd verse through the 29th verse. I'm reading from the New King James Version. I'll ask that you follow along as I read. Matthew 14, 22, and it reads, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. You may be seated.
Amen. Praise to God.
Ask you to think with me shortly from this theme, this subject of thought, get in the game. Get in the game. How many football players in the house? Yay. How many football lovers in the house? Yay. How many of you caught Monday night football game? Did you see that game? You see, me and the Lord have a really good relationship, except for when it comes to football season. I am truly challenged to come to church, Deacon, when football is on. The Lord has blessed me these days. I got TiVo, so I can just have it to record while I'm in the Lord's house. Because there was a time when I put the football was the first order of the day. So I scheduled worship around football today. Today, I have to say to the Lord, well, now your word comes first. But I sure do thank you for Monday night football. And even as I was thanking the Lord for Monday night football, he began to blow this sermon in my spirit. And he said, get in the game. And I went, get in the game? For 2 days, the Lord said to me, get in the game. And I would, when the Lord speaks a word to you, those of you that don't know much about sermon preparation, you have to let that word simmer in your spirit.
Amen.
Just simmer. For 2 days, he said, get in the game. Get in the game. Uh-huh. And I went to my concordance. I said, Lord, game not in this Bible, nowhere. What do you mean, get in the game? But he didn't change his mind. He said, get in the game. And so he led me to Matthew's gospel and had me look at Peter yet once again. Here Jesus is out sending his disciples to go do something, much like Pastor Pills. She's always sending the disciples to do something else. Jesus, he had fed the 5,000. Everybody's fat and fed. And now he sends the multitudes away. Listen what he does. He's given great direction. I fed you, now go home. But he tells his disciples, now you get in the boat and you go to the other side. You may not realize it, but today
Jesus wants to take you to the other side. The other side of what, Pastor Smith? The other side of poverty. What's the other side of poverty? Riches. I want to take you to the other side. What's the other side of sickness? Health. Got an attitude problem. What's the other side of attitude? Good attitude. Jesus wants to take us to the other side. So he tells the disciples, get in the boat and go to the other side. Interesting thing, then Jesus gets some time alone. When Pastor Pills sets up for us to be in revival, she's giving us a direction. There's going to be food for 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Come out and be fed. And somebody stayed at home. Tell your neighbor, she's talking about you right now. Somebody stayed at home, and we ate good all week long. I gained 15 pounds in the spirit because we ate good. And if you missed it, shame on you. But just like Jesus gave his disciples a command to go over to the other side, Pastor Peel said, show up for revival so you can be fed. How come she wanted us to be fed? Because she knew that when she went to camp, there was going to be a whole lot drained out of her. Oh, yes. That sister was in fresh air for 24 hours. And you don't get that sitting in the office all day. Say amen. She gave the directive. He gave the directive. And yet the disciples are ready to go. So they get in the boat. And they're out on the sea. And while they are out on the sea, it says in the text that the boat was being tossed by the waves and the wind because the wind was contrary. In other words, the boat wants to go straight and the wind wants it to go sideways.
All right.
In the Lord's house.
Uh-huh.
You knew I was going there. On Sunday morning, Sunday school happens here. You probably didn't know that. I'm glad I told you. On Sunday morning, there is Sunday school. What happens in Sunday school? You get an opportunity to ask questions about those things you do not know the answer to.
All right, come on now.
That's where we eat even more. Jesus tell the disciples, you go over to the other side. Get in the boat. But you understand, from the time that you get in the boat, situations will come in your life that you cannot handle. And you will need somebody that knows how to navigate through waves and wind. Because the waves and the wind are contrary.
Yes, they are.
The disciples. They got to get through this thing. You've got to get through tomorrow. You've got to get through bills being high and income being low. You've got to get through teenage pregnancy. You've got to get through sickness on every hand. I told my doctor last week, I'm tired of coming up in here. Every time I come in here, you find a new disease. I come in there breathing fine. He said, you got asthma. You know what I told him? The devil is a liar. You need to use this breathing inhaler because I can't talk on Monday. Because on Sunday, I give the Lord all I got. That's why I can't talk on Monday. Because like I shouted for Dallas and T.O. making that touchdown, I shout for the goodness of the Holy God. You ought to see me up in my living room. You think I was on the 50-yard line. I'm up there running around the living room saying, get it, baby. Go, baby. Go, baby. You think when I come up in here, I'm going to be quiet? I got to give him some praise. I got to give him some glory. These disciples, they're just like me and you. They wasn't nobody special. They just like you and I. They got situations in their household like you and I have in our household. Yet, they're in the boats. And the wind and the waves are giving them a rough time. I wonder if you had a rough time, would you raise your hand?
Oh, yeah.
You like me, I got 20 pills a day. I keep telling the doctor, I'm not this sick. All the of my money spent on pills. I'm sick of taking pills. Take another pill. I'm not sick. Take another pill. Breathe in this. Rub on that. I'm not that sick. I got some contrariness happening in my life. So I'm like the disciples. I'm in the boat. And then Pastor Pills, she's giving directions. She has power and authority in St. John to give us direction. But now this is interesting. She cannot go down to Alton Vale and tell them what to do. As much power and authority as she has, she does not have power and authority to go down to Alton Vale and tell anybody anything. But when it comes to the ship called St. John, she can tell the disciples, get in the boat. And they say, Pastor, we would show up at prayer meeting, but you know I got something else to do. Then I hope you don't need prayer. I would show up at Sunday school, Pastor Pills, but I can't get up in the morning. I pray the Lord wake you up for your job in the morning. I would show up for revival, Pastor Pills, but you know, I'm tired after all day work. I pray the Lord allow you to stay on that job because unemployment is the order of the day. You see, when we need something from the Lord, we find our way crying out to the pastor. These disciples, they was crying because they got screwed. They're in the boat. They're going to the other side. The wind and the waves is whooping on the ship. You know the story. But you probably didn't see your name on that page. Look again. It's on there. And Jesus comes walking to them in the middle of the night. I tell you, if you've ever seen an angel before, this is a little overcoming. It's a little overwhelming when you see something that you had no business seeing. When the Lord called me to preach, it was really an interesting thing. Called me to pastor weather. It was an interesting thing. The wall, the back wall of the church opened up. And the Lord played an episode from Star Trek. I'm sitting in worship. And the man is preaching, Pastor Macon. We'll never forget it. He's just a preaching, and I'm looking at Star Trek. And Captain Picard said to Will Riker, it's time for you to get your own ship. And Will Riker said, but I don't want to go. And the wall closed up. And I looked up to heaven, and I began to weep. Because I knew I had had an epiphany, a vision of Jesus Christ. These disciples, they sitting in this boat. The wind and the waves is whooping the boat. And here comes Jesus, walking on the water. Now, if the wind and the waves wasn't enough, here he comes, skippity-doo-dah, on the water. And then the disciples, it says here, they cried out for fear. Tell your neighbor they crying out.
Cry out.
For fear. Let me tell you what fear is. It's false evidence. It appears real.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's false evidence.
False evidence.
It just appears real. They crying out. Now they just saw Jesus do this miracle of feeding 5,000 with two fish and five. They just saw a miracle. But now Jesus is walking on the water and they scared. They can't believe it. Well, now, if he just did a miracle for you, why would you be scared when he do another miracle? They're terrified. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. It's I. You know, Peter and I have a real good relationship because Peter just jumped right on in the thing. Peter say, if it's you, if it's really you, command me to come. That's the interesting thing about Peter. He's not the only one in the boat. The rest of the disciples are there too. They've been hollering out because they scared. Ah! They was hollering. How you holler when you scared? Ah! They were scared. They wasn't sitting there saying, oh, it's just Jesus. No, they were scared. Ah! And Peter was with them. Ah! And then Peter says, if it's you, command me to come on the water too. If you can walk on the water, Jesus, you must have let me walk too. And the rest of the disciples are not in the game.
My Lord.
They sitting in the boat.
Uh-huh.
They didn't ask to come on no water. I know I just saw you feed 5,000 with two fish and five. I ain't walking on no water. I'm scared as hell right now. What you think I'm going to get on the water for? You want me to do more in the church? What about last year when I got a sponsorship for the golf tournament? You want me to turn around and double it this year? You want a whole lot out of me. I heard Pastor Peter say, yes, and even more. Peter said, if it's you, command me to come. And the rest of the disciples. The rest of the disciples. The rest of the members, the disciples. They sitting in the boat. And you know what? They didn't say a word. Fear paralyzes us. We're scared to show up when it's uncomfortable or inconvenient. I don't know nobody that loves football more than me. But if we had had church Monday night, I was going to have to miss T.O. And that's one fine brother. I was going to have to miss T.O. That brother could take wet out of water. That's one good-looking brother. I'd have walked to Dallas just to see him. And I don't walk nowhere. The rest of the disciples are scared. Uh-huh. They don't say nothing. They don't move. All they did was go, holler. I wonder about you. Let me turn the mirror on you for a moment. If Jesus asked you to do something that's inconvenient, will you show up? Or will you be like the rest of the disciples and just sit in the boat? Peter. Jesus already know Peter going to be scared and sink. He's already aware of that. Jesus is already aware of where we're going to fall short.
All right, come on.
Let me tell you, when the Lord called me to preach, I'm a heavy scotch drinker. I like some scotch. Well, scotch wasn't all I liked. I liked your husband and my husband, too. That wasn't all I liked. Because if he had enough money, he might get some honey. And when it came to cocaine, yeah. See, I'm not a recovering addict. I'm recovered. I was complaining to the Lord how I had to drive this morning. I got in my car at 8:03 a.m. on my way to church. Had to make some detours. Had to go collect some tithes from some members that's not here. And it was 9:26 when I pulled up in front of the church. And I reminded the Lord, I've been driving over an hour. And he reminded me of how long I drove to pick up some cocaine. And I had to get out the car saying, forgive me, Lord. Peter's coming out on the water. But it is important to recognize that Jesus gave him the command.
Yes, he did.
Wonder what did Pastor Pierce command you to do last week? Wonder what did she command? You see, when she gives us a commandment, it is much like football. She's the quarterback. And we are the offensive line. We're not on the defense. It is our job to keep Satan running. It is not our job to be running from Satan. We should be running him. As a matter of fact, when we wake up, he ought to get a headache. When we show up at church, he ought to get sick because we're in the Lord's house. Don't praise the Lord yet once more and again.
Go ahead.
Had a friend of mine tell me, I ain't coming to church. I read the Bible. I said, what you know about salvation? What do you know about the doctrine of baptism? If you cannot explain to me the doctrine of baptism, then Sunday morning you ought to be in somebody's church, clown.
Yes. Yes.
You cannot explain to me the doctrine of the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning, first Sunday. You ought to make sure you're here. Because it's the blood that cleanses you. It's not church attendance. But you wouldn't know that if you don't know the doctrine. Pastor Pell's got the football. And she gets the command from the center. She gets the ball from the center. You know who the center is. The center is the one standing there with the ball. And the center is going to hike the football to the quarterback. You remember the songwriter said, Jesus is the center of my joy. So she's going to get the word from the center. The word is the Bible. The center going to hand the football off to the quarterback. Now the quarterback looking at the offensive line. We are the offensive line. We got some running backs. We got some wide receivers. And we got some tight ends. And each one of us has a responsibility in the Lord's house. The quarterback. She ready to throw the ball to the running back. And what the running back said? You see? Uh-huh. She looking to get the ball off to the running back so the running back can make a touchdown. When she got ready to throw the ball during revival, somebody wasn't here. So who she supposed to throw it to? Okay, so she'll get the wide receiver. The running back that fell short on the job. So she'll get the wide receiver, you know, like T.O. She looking to give him a pass. Go throw it long. And she looking for the wide receiver. What a wide receiver at? Still in the boat. Still in the boat. Say, Lord, is it I? Good question. The answer always comes back. Yes, it's you. It's you and your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, she's talking about you now. Not only that, we got some tight ends who ought to be opening up a hole so that the running back can run through. But what happened with the tight end?
In the boat.
In the boat. In the boat. Now, how are we going to score? Oh, we want the quarterback to run. We want the quarterback to get the ball from the center. Plus, we want the quarterback to scoot all the way down to the end zone. And now the quarterback is sick. Help me, somebody. You see, she needs a Sunday off. She won't take it. We're going to have to command her to get it. She won't take it. She's behind me right now. She better not be making faces at me. She won't take it. When has she had a Sunday off? You see, the quarterback needs some rest, too. Because if we don't protect the quarterback, she will get sacked. She will get sacked. We must protect the word. She is designed to bring the word. She is responsible for feeding us the word. She is not responsible for getting in the baptismal pool. Oh, yeah, I'm coming with that, sister. And doing everything else. St. John, we've got to step up to the plate. We've got to step up to the plate. Each of us and all of us are responsible for this house. Each of us and all of us are responsible for this house. In case you didn't hear me, each of us and all of us are responsible for the ministry in St. John Missionary Baptist Church. And don't you dare stay in the boat. We've got to walk the water. How come we got to walk the water? Because there's some young women that need salvation. There's some young men that's on their way to jail and going to pass by hell to get there. There are some children that need some nurturing. What are we going to do? Sitting in the boat is not an option. We must get in the game. Tell your neighbor, we must. We must get in the game. Pastor's waiting to pass the ball. She's waiting to throw the pass. The wide receiver, the tight ends, the running backs. All of us have a responsibility on this offensive line. And if there's one thing we must do before this day comes to an end, we must get in the game. God bless you. God keep you.